Paul, in the name of the glorious name of Jesus Christ. Sorry to keep you up, Mike. I do have one other thing to state. This past week has been kind of tough on the Podosic family. Gary's dad has been in the hospital. I took him to Penn last week, and he was admitted. Got him? He was admitted a day or two later. He is battling cancer. They don't know what kind of cancer it is. They did a biopsy on the cancer Friday. He is now home. Tuesday, they will be sharing what they found in the biopsy and have a treatment plan in there. So they'll find that. Keep those guys in prayer. It is quite tough. He's the only child, so everything's laid on him. His mother has moved on from the relationship, and we're ministering to Gary that, you know, just accept what it is and continue on. God will see you through. So, you know, text him, let him know that he's in your prayers. If you know where his dad lives, he lives in the same apartment complex as Miss Karen. As a matter of fact, right across the street, D2 is the apartment number. If you so inclined to drop by, we're planning today after service to go and see what's going on. B2. B as in boy. Okay. Alrighty. Thank you, Sean, for that. You know, I know he would appreciate it, the church family, just to drop a line, something with some sort of support with him would go a long way, but especially for the Podosics. When he was in the hospital, he was very emphatic about his church family and his pastor and stuff, and that's great, but we want to see him make a full recovery of this. So, you know, as I said to the deacons, it's all our responsibility to go visit, and I want to commend Nolan for making that visitation. It's just, why didn't he tell me? I would have gone with him. You know, Christ sent him out by twos. Okay, we want to stay as biblical as possible with this. Also, I want to bring to your attention, we are going to lose one of our own. They are relocating, and that is the Fosters. They will be relocating, I think, this week in the area of Blackwood. So, again, you know, send your condolences, wish them well, as we have with them, bless them, pray with them. But they are now moving on in God to another area. Amen? Any questions? None? Okay. Let me see this warrior person. I'm going to test her faith. Would you lead us in prayer, please? My word says be ready in season, out of season. Okay. Father, I have your word and I know it's true. I am everything it says I am. You're right. I can do everything it says I can do. I have. I have everything it says I have. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. A little out of order, but that's okay. You conquered it. You know, the enemy doesn't want us to speak words of faith. And what we have been going through and experiencing, I would say the last 3 months, is some sort of facet of faith, and I wholeheartedly agree, it's not faith until you put it into action. And with that, Daniel is going to hand you a gift, and it's what I will be teaching on today. It's the mustard seed parable. Amen. As he's handing this out, I'd like to just reiterate what we have covered. Many of us have heard about the mustard seed. Even fewer of us have actually held a mustard seed. And most of us have heard a misteaching of the mustard seed parable. If that is you, raise your hand. I challenge you to plant the mustard seed, because this parable will explode to life to you. You will really understand what the Lord is saying in here. Many of us have heard a teaching, if you have the faith of a mustard seed. How many of us have heard that? Is that what the scripture says? No. Turn to Mark, the 4th chapter, in verse 30, 32. And while you're moving there, I'd like to reiterate what we've covered so far. I've covered two parables about the kingdom of God. Okay? The first parable talked about the receptiveness of the human heart in sharing the gospel of the kingdom of God. And then the challenge was brought forth to examine the condition of our own hearts. Okay? The parable of the soils. Okay? Which means we receive the word of God by faith, but if it isn't acted upon, is that faith? No, it's not. And so what we want to be able to do is look at that parable, see where our heart is, and begin to move in faith as to what the Lord says, not what Pastor says or Pastor Mike says or Nolan says. It's only important to do what he says to do. The second parable we dealt with knowing what our job is. What is our job? To sow the seed. That is our job. But we also learned too that the parable of the seed was that it doesn't need any of our help. Right? We don't need to go out there and put it in the ground and just, you know, do the agricultural stuff as a farmer does. The job of the farmer is to prepare the heart or the soil. The sower, all he does is throw the seed out. The seed, if it's on good soil, will eventually find its way in, germinate, and grow. I want us to understand that the potential of the kingdom of God is in the hearts of God's people. If it has found fertile soil, then the prayer that we just said is not impossible. Because all things, Jesus said, all things, say it with me, all things are possible to him who believes and to her who believes. And so, what we want to do is begin to cultivate a culture in which faith arises by our actions. As James says, you know, you tell me you got faith, I'll tell you I got faith and show it by what I do with it. Okay? James 2. I want us to be that. Whatever God says to do. He told me something this morning as I was thinking about an offering to Pastor Lardy's thing. And it was like, I have a choice to either be obedient to what God says to do or compromise it and just do a little of it. And if you guys know me, I will do what God says to do, even to my own hurt, because nothing's more important to me than being obedient to him and what he says to do. I don't want to bring a black eye to him. I don't want to cause the blessings that he's put upon myself and my family and in this church family to stop. And that's exactly what happens with disobedience in the kingdom of God. Blessings stop. Or we don't receive the fullness of the blessings. Okay? We have to align ourselves up with the word. So let's look at the word and see what it says. This is Christ speaking, and he said to them, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like, and what parable shall we use it to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground, and yet when it's planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such a big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." I have found that if you plant this mustard seed, it will grow. But Jesus is not talking about a plant. He's giving us symbolism as how the kingdom of God will grow, starting with him to the end of the age. Okay? What he is trying to illustrate is something that's common to the people of that time, which is probably uncommon to us today. And what I did in researching about the mustard seed was that this plant grows this tall. Would you accept that? This is yes, this is no. Quincy says yes. How many are on that sinking ship? Nobody. Okay. Will it grow this tall? Well, your ship's already sunk, so you can't jump ship. You can't. What I have found is that if planted in good soil, the mustard seed plant grows to 10 to 12 feet and spreads out. I was amazed because my thinking was, oh, when he's talking about a shrub, you know, to me a shrub is about this tall, and I go around with my clippers and clip it. But he's talking about a shrub that is gigantic. Gigantic. The kingdom of God started with Jesus Christ, and at the end of the age, it is going to be gigantic, of which we are a part of it. Okay? Do you believe this? Yes. We also believe that God is going to fill all these chairs this year. That's the kingdom of God. That's faith speaking. And there's an action, a correlating action that is required for us to go and do our job. And our job is sow the seed. The seed of the kingdom of God. I was asked Friday. We have a unique opportunity to minister to a family that is having demonic activity in its home. This is an opportunity, guys. It is an opportunity for us to bring the kingdom of God and dispose of the kingdom of darkness. You're learning about the shield of faith and armor. Well, this is where it becomes applicable. Do you believe or don't you believe? It's simple as that. And the individual said to me, "Pastor, I don't want me to be one of the seven sons of Sceva." I said, "You're not. You're a son of the most holy God." I said, "All they tried to do was preach against that demon in Paul's name." And the demon responded, "Paul I know, and Jesus I know, but who are you?" And then lopped upside of them, beat them up, took their clothes off of them, and they ran out of the building naked. We are here for one purpose. We are here to spread the kingdom's influence to all the nations. Not just sit here and have a good time and say, "Whew, boy, that was great." Jesus is saying the kingdom is going to be so large that it is going to encompass the whole world, and that its power influence will be second to none. And this is according to Daniel 2:44. For those who are prophet studiers and stuff, you can see that this is fulfilled and is being fulfilled right before our eyes. The kingdom of God. This comparison that Jesus is making is to help us understand that we are going to go through trials and tribulations. It doesn't matter. What matters is that our soil doesn't get tainted and get hard. which means we got to constantly look at our heart to see what God is saying to us and if it's receptive, and to continue to push forward. Today we were encouraged to press into God, press in. And I want to encourage you that in your prayer times, in your times of just worship to God, press in. Don't be satisfied in just holy goosebumps. Press in. Allow Him to begin to minister to you. Allow Him to begin to start setting the agenda of your life. Allow Him to show that what you're sacrificing today, He will bless abundantly tomorrow. Okay? When I began to meditate on this parable about the kingdom, I was brought back to the old teaching. If you have faith of a mustard seed, well, being young in the Lord, you take what a person says. They can't be wrong. But as I've matured, I began to become a Berean. And I used to take the word and say, And then what happens is the Spirit puts a check in your spirit. Well, what that person is saying is not accurate, or it's not completely accurate. You see, a half-truth is still a lie. It's either truth or it's not. And Jesus is not talking about our faith. He's talking about how the kingdom of God is going to grow from its inception, because He's the King. He started it. And what it will look like at the end. All nations, all people groups, everybody will hear about the gospel of the kingdom of God. Does that mean that all people, all nations will become part of the kingdom of God? No. Sadly, no. You look at the soils and we see that only one quarter of those hearts were receptive to the kingdom of God, the gospel of God. What we as people of God need to understand, we are people of the kingdom. We are not Americans. We live in America, and to do a job that God has called us to do, but we are kingdom people. And by that, we live under a different ruler. We are no longer part of the Babylonian society. We have been elevated. We're regal. We're kids of the King, that I like to say. And with that, there's perks and privileges that come with the kids. And through our obedience and doing what He says, and as we mature in those things that He tells us to do, we get greater responsibility. To Him who's given much, much is required. That is not to cause us to say, oh, I don't want the responsibility. I don't want that, God. What you're saying is you're denying yourself in Jesus Christ. You're denying what He is calling into your life. You have to agree with Him. And that's all this prayer is I am what the Word says. I can do everything it says I do. I have everything it says I have. And you have to believe this, because it's true. It's what God says. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom. Not the stuff in the kingdom. Seek first the King. We'll put it this way. Seek ye first the King, and all this stuff will be added to you. Because the King and the kingdom are synonymous. You can't have a kingdom without a king, and you can't have a king without a kingdom. He has a sphere that He reigns in, and where He reigns from is far higher than what we can conceptualize. I mean, I get to visit that, but when I try to verbalize it to people, it's almost impossible. I don't have the words to speak. I feel like Paul at times. He says, I know a guy who went to heaven, spent some time there, and he came back, but he couldn't describe it. If you ask God to take you to heaven, He'll take you to heaven. You've got to want to go there. Hear me. You've got to want to go there. Because when you get there, you won't need words. You'll be there expecting to see the glory of God, the opulency of what He has. You know, it's really something when you get to see everything that He's prepared. And everything that we see isn't everything. He just gives us a microcosm of it. Jesus said, you know, I go away to prepare a mansion for you. And if it were so, then I'll return to take you there. That's what we're in the midst of this kingdom. There is work to be done. God said to me this week, He says, I don't want you to refer to streams as a beachhead any longer. I want you to refer to it as a headquarters. What is a headquarters in reference to? Warfare. And there is a place in which people go to a headquarters that the generals, okay, we need you guys to go over here. We need this taken. We need you to hold this. We need supplies. They orchestrate all this stuff. And so what happens is it becomes a place in which we have the answers to the warfare. And they're all found in Scripture. They're all found with the King. My Bible says He supplies all my needs according to the riches and glory of Gary Stiles. No, that's not what it says. He says He supplies all my needs according to the riches in Christ Jesus. Not greeds. I mean, there's still some stuff that God wants to prune out of my life. This is kingdom, guys. And in the kingdom, there are rules that have to be obeyed. There are things that we say. Our language changes in the kingdom. Our mannerisms and behaviors change because we're no longer like the world. We're different. And as the kingdom begins to grow and expand in you, you will have a time in which God will challenge you because He wants to prune it, as He said today. He wants to prune these things out of your life. Not because He's mad, not because you did something that you think that is disappointing Him or in disobedience. He's looking at the end. He wants to produce abundance. He said He wants us to have life, an abundant life. But abundance doesn't come if we're still holding on to junk. When you plant that mustard seed, do you expect it to just to stay in there? Or do you expect it to grow? You see, when God speaks, He expects His word to find fertile soil in our hearts. And He said, when the Son of Man returns, will He find faith? Will He find faith? Are we going to be doing what He says to do? Because He tells us that if we love Him, we will do those things that He tells us to do. Out of John 14:15. And so, when people say to me, oh, I love God, but their life is contrary, I say, no, you don't. And they get all flustered, and they get all bent out of shape, and I chuckle, because I want to get a rise out of them. But I want to challenge them. I don't want to try to prove myself right. My object is, or objective is to challenge you that the potential of that seed that has been planted into our hearts has to be realized as we allow that seed to germinate and grow in us. And because it grows, the seed grows so large within us that any of those weeds would die, because now the mustard seed has grown over this and weeds can't grow. We're no longer concerned about the sinful behavior because it's not part of it. What we see is the behavior of a king King Jesus, living through us and empowered by the Holy Spirit to make a difference in our families' lives, in our neighbors' lives, in our work relation lives, in people that we run into each and every day. I was sharing with Dan earlier today, while they were fixing the damage out in the street, I had a chance to talk to two inspectors from the state, and they're both Oriental. Neither one's Christian. Opportunity. It knocks. Gary opens the door. So I go out to him, and I'm taking care of my responsibilities in the church, and I go out and I said, hey guys, are you guys going to be done today, or what should I do? Because I want to make sure that none of our people drive in a hole. Oh no, we'll be done. Are you the owner of this building? Indirectly. What do you mean, indirectly? I said, well, it belongs to a Jewish carpenter. Huh? Yeah. Well, we thought it was an auto parts place. I said, you change parts, right? He goes, yeah. I said, this carpenter can change your heart. His name's Jesus. And I put my hand on his chest, and I'm praying in the spirit. And I say to him, Jesus wants to give you a new heart. And immediately he's like this. And I walked away. You see, I'm there to plant a seed. I'm not there to try to harvest or convict somebody. That's not my job. My job is to sow seed. If we do our job, guess what? People will come. They will want to know Jesus by the love that you have for one another. And this love that we have for one another is because of Jesus. John 13:35 is what this ministry is all about. Well, how do we do this? Well, the kingdom doesn't operate the same way as the kingdom of darkness. And we have to learn this. We don't have to learn how to operate. We just don't do the things that God says, and it comes naturally. We're selfish. We're abusive. We're haters. We're prejudiced. We're all that stuff. And much more. And much worse. In the kingdom of God, we're lovers. We're lovers. Because that's who He is. He's love. He epitomized love. His character is love. Everything He does is out of love. He loves us. And so what we want to do is demonstrate that love. That could be through acts of kindness. It could be just sending a card to somebody who's going through a tough time. It's visitation. It's whatever the Lord wants us to do. Didn't He say to His disciples, that you did to the least of these, you did to me? And they said, well, when do we see this? He says, when I was in prison, you guys forgot me. Oh, He didn't say that? Oh, when He was in prison, you guys came and visited Him. When I was naked, you just said, fare thee well. Cops will get you. You can't run around town like that. No, He said, you clothed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. You see, these are the acts of kindness that we can do, we should be doing, in spite of ourselves. Well, Pastor, I don't have a lot. He's not asking you if you have a lot. I mean, that was the problem with the seven loaves, five fishes, was it? Or three fishes, two fishes, I forget. He took a little and made abundant. If you take a little and give it to Him, He'll abundantly bless. Just do your job. He will take care of everything else. You know? Well, my mom and dad, they won't let me do this. Why not tell them what God has said to you? Because you have to be obedient, but also have to be submitted to your mom and dad. Honor your parents. You know, don't keep them out of the loop. Have them become part of the loop, to be used. Because all we have to do is sow these seeds, and the opportunity to speak about the kingdom will come. We've kind of, in this country, we've kind of lost that way of doing things. When I got saved, I looked at Irene's parents, her family, and I learned so much that they were living the Bible. They weren't preaching it, they were living it. And I said, man, I see this in Scripture, and they're doing it. You see, this isn't about religiosity. This isn't about rules and stuff. It's about your heart. Do I put everything that I want before what the Lord wants? I don't. I can't speak for you. I don't. And it's caused some ruffling of the feathers in my house. But in the end, God has blessed abundantly. Let me give you some examples. When we first started out, we were a men's prayer group. We were part of another church. And God was about to deal with the pastor there in a way that was not good. He was rebellious. He did things that were contrary to protocol. I spoke to him in tears, and he was indifferent about that. And I said, all you have to do is repent. Wouldn't repent. From that ministry was closed, and the day that God had spoken to us to leave, they had an intercessory group. I would say, what, three, probably real strong, but it had about six or seven people. And they came to me and they said, Gary, the Holy Spirit has told us today you're leaving. Is that true? I said, yeah, that's what God has instructed me to do. And they said, what does Ichabod mean? I said, the glory of God has left. I don't want God to pronounce Ichabod upon streams. That's why I'm obedient to do what he wants done, even to my own hurt. Because I want to be a living example to you guys of a person of integrity before a holy God. From there, we started a small group of men, and what we did was we developed a ministry. It was called Crossbow Ministries. And what that was a ministry in which the guys, because we all had gifts and talents in various trades, we served the orphan and the widowed by our giving of our time and substance to make repairs. And we also took care of the elderly by fixing things that they had need of fixing. No charge to them. We just wanted to be able to be a blessing. And in the time there, we spoke with people. They knew Christ. We didn't know. We just saw a need and wanted to be there. And God was faithful all the way through, to the point where streams came into being in 2002. We actually became Streams of Life. For 14 years, God has been really, really blessing Streams. And because we're in the midst of it, we don't really realize how fast God is moving because we're in it. In 10 years, God gave us his property. We were vagabonds. We were traveling. Remember, Noah, we were traveling to different places, trying to find our place. And in the meantime, we were squirreling away a tenth of our tithe for the purpose of building. And the monies that we squirreled away, we gave to the financial advisor that after 5 years of saving, God blessed it and gave us over $50,000. That's unheard of. But God. And in those 10 years, he gave us this building. We were sitting at the settlement table. Money was coming in from people that said, I believe what God's doing with you. And we weren't soliciting. They were offering. And we were taken. We were doing it. That's faith. And our lawyer, and you've heard me say this, our lawyer, we're sitting there, and mind you, I'm a year into recovery, and the lawyer says, Pastor, you did everything wrong. And we're sitting at the settlement table, buying a property. I looked at him and I said, Bob, but God. See, if you're flowing into things, you don't have to be perfect. That's what I learned. You don't have to be perfect, but you gotta be moving. And he gave us this place. And we were looking, right, Kim? Probably 4 years, 5 years. And then out of the blue, God says, I want to show you this place. We think it's the best property in all Williamstown. We've looked at properties. The guy who is next door to me who wanted to sell that property to us is still trying to sell the property. And now it's been 8 years. And the property is falling apart. There are issues with that property. What has happened in the last 3 years? Well, the last 3 years, what has happened? Because of your faithfulness. It is your faithfulness. We're able to pay the mortgage. We're able to start getting our financial house in order. To the point of now we're at a place, because things were all over the place, we're now able to measure this coming year everything, including our donations, because we want to know what it really costs to operate this ministry. We have an idea, and those donations go a long way. And those receipts you put back here, Holly will follow them, because it's real important that we know exactly what it's going to cost to operate this ministry. And in 2 years, we're going to consolidate everything into one mortgage payment by the word of the Lord. We've talked to other pastors, and they can't believe how fast God is moving. We're just in it. I don't know. He says, God gave you a building in 10 years? Yeah. Well, I'm still renting my building, and I've been here for 20 years. Okay. What did you do? I heard God, and I did what he told me to do. Paul Youngie Cho, or David Youngie Cho. I hear God and obey. That's my simple theology. I hear God, and I do what he says. But because of it, in these 3 years, the diaconate has begun to arise. It is starting to mature. In that point of time, for you to begin to see where we're going, eldership will be raised. And we completed a year-long, arduous work in getting our bylaws and constitution taken care of. That's laying the new foundation of how we're going to operate. Of which you guys are going to take this ministry to the next level. I will have the privilege of being a part of that, but you have the honor to take it further. Jesse has read the vision. She caught fire and now is beginning to work with the junior church. It's not going to be called junior church anymore. It's yeah, it's going to be called a kids ministry, but she's got names God gave to her about every aspect, from some Noah's Ark to some lily pond. Yeah. Okay. Well, praise God. You see, Moira's right in there. Praise God. And she's an integral part, as all of you are, as to what God's doing. He's going to raise up elders. The maintenance ministry has been transfigured. You guys are now becoming a part of that. And I just want to thank you, because you're listening to God, stirring your heart, and you're becoming part of something. This is Father's house. It's not just my responsibility to take care of Father's house. It's all of ours. It's all of ours to contribute financially to the well-being. And you do keep up the good work. But now what's happening is the kingdom is expanding, and Pastor Mike is overseeing just the beginning of a connect group, going out and connect. We can all connect people. That's our job, is to connect them to God, not just the connect team. There is so much work in the kingdom that we haven't even scratched the surface, because what we need to do, we need to train you. We need to equip you. We need you to go out when demons are manifesting themselves in homes to take authority. Power's washed away, and these people get saved. What I said to the individual was, preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Preach the kingdom. Because when you come back, didn't the disciples say, we're awesome. We heal the sick. We've done this. We've done that. And the demons are even subjected to your name. And Jesus brought them back. He said, what did he say? He said, chill, dudes. My vernacular. Chill, dudes. Just rejoice that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Chill. These opportunities that come, we look at them with a negative, but they're not negative. They're opportunities to win the loss, to sow the seed that needs to be done. God has given you abundance. Well, I don't have a lot of money. Neither do I. But I want to be like my father. I want to be generous. Do you want to be like your father? Generous? Start being a blessing. Really, that's what it is. God looks out for everybody. He lets the rain fall on the just and unjust. Sun shine on the just and unjust. What he's trying to get us to understand is our love, our service is conditional in the kingdom. We can bless each other. And yeah, okay. But what about that person has mistreated you? Spoken evil of you? What about that? Jesus said, I came to bring a sword. I didn't come to bring peace. I brought a sword. And that division that he's using is where? It's going to be within our families. They're not going to like what we're doing. Do what God says to do. See, we're of higher stature now. We don't do the things that the world does. Or we shouldn't. Many years ago, I preached the message, can you tell the saints from the ain'ts? It's really, you know, what God is saying to us is, are you going to really be different? Or are you just going to say that you're different? Are we going to stand like Joshua and say that in that day of reckoning and give the choices? Either you serve God or serve your other gods. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I've given you a small rendition as to the kingdom. I've given you some vision as to what God wants to do with us. It's awesome what God wants to do. It's exciting for me to finally see that a vision that he gave me back in 1991 is now coming to pass. And you guys are part of that. It excites me. You know, I've taken the ministry and the kingdom as far as he wants me to take it. And now what he's saying to me is, I'm going to be stepping back and allow you guys to take it now. Not that he's done with me. It's just something different he's got for me to do. And I'm still learning that I'm not supposed to be doing the things that I am doing. But I love God. And I have Polish roots, and it's a little tough sometimes getting through the gray matter. But I know you guys are going to arise to the occasion. You guys is who God's prophesied 2,000 years ago when he was on a cross, and he said he saw the joy of what he was doing because he saw all of us. The kingdom of God is predicated on the condition of our hearts, releasing the potential of the seed, and watch it grow. And us just continuously seeding, sowing seed. That's all he's asking us to do. Can we do that? Yes, we can do that. All for his glory. Amen. Pastor Mike.